The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Being that today is Shushan Purim, and also I see everyone is very, very tired, recovering from Purim. So we will carry on with the shiur on Inyanei Purim and a few notes on Purim. I'm trying to keep things rather easy. A few comments from the Chazals and the various psukim of the Megillah. In the Megillah Esther, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, when they were having their party, and it was Bayim Ashvi Ketev Lev HaMelech Bayoin, after 7 days of drinking, then they said, Lohovias Vashti HaMalka Lifnei HaMelech, Bekeser Malchus, let's bring Vashti, the queen, before the king, in with her crown of royalty, Laharis Amin Vasorim Es Yofyo, to show the nations and their princes her beauty, Kitevis Marehi, she was very beautiful. But Ma'ein Hamalka Vashti Lavai Bidvar HaMelech Asher Biyar HaSorishim, and the Queen Vashti refused to come in accordance to the word of the king, which was in the hands of his servants. Vayiktsev HaMelech Me'od, and he became very, very angry. Vechamose Bo'aravoy, and his anger was Bo'ara, just boiled in him, flamed in him. Now the Gemara wants to know, why did he become so angry? I mean, this is a very, very strong term. Vayiktsev HaMelech Me'od, he became exceedingly angry, and then it says Vachamose Bo'aravoy, and his anger fumed in him. So the Gemara asks on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Amai Dolke Be Kuli Hai, why did he become so angry? Omar Rava, because Rava said Sholchalei, she sent to him, and she said to him, Bar Ahorai Reyu, the Abba Abba. In other words, this is the Shemere Asusim, the groom that kept my grandfather's horses. Her grandfather was Nebuchadnezzar, she was from royalty. The Kabbal Alfe Chamra Shosi Velei Rovi, they could drink 100 barrels of wine and not get drunk. That was the groom who took care of my grandfather's horses. And this person, she was referring to the king Ahasuerus, the minute he starts to drink, he gets all drunk. This is what she sent back to him. Therefore, he became very, very angry with that insult. But the Midrash goes further. The Maral Miprag brings a Midrash. Esther Gimel Tesvot. Omer B'yechanan Ba'eser Sho Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Malach Asher Hu Memuna Alachemo. That at that time HaKadosh Baruch Hu called, he summons his angel who's Memuna Alachema, seems to be an angel who's in charge of anger and wrath. And he said, Poziko v'nofach b'kutma v'zorach gufraiso, start a fire in him and blow it so it flames more, and feed it with coals. In other words, Bahamosai Barovai, that his anger just started to burn in him, that was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent his malach, Hamamuna Alachim, who's in charge of this anger, and said, feed that anger. Let it burn. Give it plenty of fuel. Now, why was this? The Maral explains that actually this was the Siba HaGeula. Right here we're speaking about the very seeds of the redemption. And the Chazal tell us that why was Vashti killed before Haman made his decree Lahashmid Laharek, to destroy all of the Jews? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Magdim Refuah LeMakeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always, even though we might not see it, most of the time we do not see it, he brings the Refuah before the Makeh. He brings the solution, the cure, before the disease comes. The disease, the problem, the plague was Haman. That decree came later. First HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Refuah. So what was the Refuah? To bring Esther into the palace, into the key position, to bring Esther into the key position where she will be the queen, and she will be able to influence the king to rescind Haman's decree. This all took place before the Makeh, but he couldn't bring Esther to become the queen because Vashti is the queen. So he had to manipulate history, where they will want to kill Vashti and remove Vashti in order to make place for Esther. So this here, where they are now, what's happening now, there's a dispute broiling between the king and the queen that will end up in Vashti's death. This is the Siba. This is the underlying seeds for the beginning of the Gula, the beginning of the redemption. And something like this has to come milmala, from above, because such a great miracle to rescind such a great decree of Lahashmid Laharig El Abed, it's called Yehudim, to destroy and annihilate the entire nation of Klal Yisrael, this had to be done milmala in Shomayim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So therefore, it states, Vayikzev HaMelech Me'od, it uses all of that expression. It doesn't merely say, Vayikzev HaMelech, he became angry. Vayikzev HaMelech Me'od, he became exceedingly angry. And not only that, Chamosei Baravoi, that his anger started to really flame and fume and cook in him. Now, it is true, the Gemara learns Lefi Pshutai, because he was insulted. She told him, what kind of person are you? What kind of king are you? Even the Shemrei Hasusim, those who took care of my grandfather's horses, could drink and drink and drink and not become drunk. And you just start to drink and look how drunk you become. Well, now you're demanding that I come before and I should show my beauty to all of the Sorim, the princes and the ambassadors. So that was the insult. But on top of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that he would be so angry. And therefore, he summons the Malach HaMamun al HaChema, the angel which is in charge of anger, in order to do his job and make sure that Ahasuerus will be very, very angry to carry through this plan. Then, further in the Megillah, it states, Vayemar HaMelech, immediately afterwards, LaChachomim Yedei HaItim. And the king said to the Chachomim, Yedei HaItim, to those who know the Itim, the times and the seasons. Ki kein dvar HaMelech, lifnei kol Yedei Dos V'din, because this is the way of the king, that whenever he has a serious matter to discuss, he puts it before the Yodea Dos V'din, all of those that know Dos V'din, they know law and justice and so forth. Then it says, V'hakor ve'lov, and those that were close to him. Kashon Sheshar, Admosas, Ashish, Meres, Marsanom, and Mucham. Shivas, Sori, Poras, and Modai. These were the seven great kings of Poras and Modai. Rei Pnei HaMelech, who had the audience of the king. Ayesh V'Mirishena V'Malchus. They would, this is his special private cabinet. The Gemara says, first it says that he said to the Chachomim Yodea Itim. The Chachomim that know Itim, that know the times. And that's the way of the king before called Yodei Dos V'Din, to place the matters before those who are Dos V'Din, and then it brings V'Kor V'Elov, those who were close to him. Actually, what went on was something more than seems Lefi Pshute, in accordance to the simple meaning. The Gemara brings that first he went to Chachmei Yisrael, Man Chachomim, Vayim HaMelech LaChachomim, Man Chachomim Rabbonim. First he went to the Rabbonim, Yedea Itim. They are the ones who know the times and the seasons. Sheyedin La'aber Shonim Ulkvei Chadoshim, because they are the ones who make the leap years and make the leap months and so forth, and set the months. And they are the ones who know Dos V'Din. And they asked, he asked the question to them, what should I do with the Malka Vashti? Because here publicly she disgraced me. What should I do with her? They, the Chachomim, found themselves in a predicament. Omar Luhu, they said, he said to them, Dainu Hali, I want you to give me a judgment for her. Omru, they said to themselves, amongst themselves, Heichi Navid, what should we do? Neimale Kotlo, if we say that he should kill her, Lamocha Posik Lechamra, Uboy Laminon, tomorrow morning when he wakes up, he will be sober again. And then he'll come at us. Why did you advise me to kill my queen? Neimale Shofko, if we give him a judgment that you should leave her alone, Gomezalzal B'machusa, they will blame us, the king and his henchmen will blame us, that we have no respect for the Malchus, we have no respect for the kingship, because here the queen publicly disgraced him and embarrassed him, and we are saying, leave her alone. So what did they do? They were mishtamet. They managed to get out of the situation. From here we learn something, that when you're in a predicament that you cannot answer each way, either way, be mishtamet. See, find a gracious exit. Because they saw that, especially as the Chachmei Yisrael, they are going to endanger themselves in Klal Yisrael. They were subjects to the king. They say kill, and tomorrow he'll be sobered up and they'll say, you caused me to kill my queen. If they'll say, leave it alone, tomorrow they come and say, you have no kovod ha-malchus, you have no respect for the kingship. So therefore they were mishtamet. They looked for a gracious exit. What did they find? They said as follows. Omru lei, they said, miyem shechora beis amigdosh v'golinu mi'atzenu. From the day that our beis amigdosh was destroyed, and we went into golus from our lands, because this was during the 7 years golus of golus bavel. Nitla eitzo mimenu, was taken our wisdom and counsel from us. Beinonu yodin lodain dinin afoshes, and no longer are we capable of giving judgments when it comes to life and death. So therefore, we must abstain. Zil gabi ameinu ma'ov. But we'll give you good advice anyway. Go to Amen and Moav. The Yaspi Beduchtayo, because they were never Golu, they were never exiled from their lands. They were always on their lands. And they will be able to give you a good judgment. And then the Gemara brings, they said, Kechamra de Yosef al Durdayo. And the Gemara explains that when you have wine and you take the grapes, you put it in the barrel, and then you let it ferment, and it's making wine. If you will take this barrel of wine and pour it into another barrel, it'll lose some of its richness. It'll lose some of its tang. Why? Because it's no longer together with the shmorim, with the dregs, which gives it its full taste, the fullness of it. So they said, that's what we are. When a nation or an individual is golu me'atzenu, is uprooted from their land, they are like wine which was poured out of its original barrel into another barrel that loses the fulsomeness of its tam, of its taste, because it's been separated from its roots, from its dregs, from the shmorim. And then when it comes to giving judgments, to paskin din in nefoshes, giving judgments on death penalty, life and death, that you have to have fullness of wisdom. Therefore, we cannot do that. Incidentally, from here we can learn what happens when a person emigrates. He's uprooted from his place, which is giving him the fullness of his nourishment. So therefore, they abstain. But they said, go to Moab and Ammon, to these two nations, because they never were uprooted from their lands. Diksiv Shanon Meyav Minuura Vishekeitu Al Shmorov. Moab had peace from its early days, and they always were dwelling together with their Shmorov, with the Shmorim, together with the dregs of the wine. Velehurak Mikeli El Keli Ubegela Le Holach. And they were not poured from one vessel to another. They did not go into exile. Alkein oma taimai bay verechei lenomar, and therefore they still have their entire tam and reach, the fullness of the taste and the fullness of the scent. Therefore, this is what it means when the posuk states vayim amelach lachachomim yedea itim, that the king went to the chachomim, man chachomim rabbonon, yodei itim, who know how the seasons, how to be ma'abara hashonim and the chadoshim. Ki kein dvar ha'melech livnei kol yodei dos v'din, even they recognize the wisdom of the rabbonon, and this is what he would always do. And then it states, v'akore ve'lov kashno sheshor, that's after the chachomim abstained, and they gave him the etzah to go to Ammon and Moab, so this he went to his other ambassadors, his other princes. The Maral says on this, also something which is similar to what we just said before, in the same vein, very deep. He said it had to be this way. Because again, what are we speaking about? We're speaking about the judgment that is going to affect Vashti's life. From there, the throne of the queen will become vacant. From there, Esther will ascend to the throne. And from there, you'll have the refuah, you'll have the geula, the eventual power to redeem Klal Yisrael from the decree of Haman. So therefore, he says, this is what was bothering the Gemara, and why the Gemara dashed like this, because the killing of Vashti could not have come merely from the Shiva Rei Panei HaMelech, from his seven members of his cabinet, because they were Seinim of Yisrael. They hated Yisrael, and Haman was amongst them. And you cannot have both the decree of death and the geula coming from the same place. The decree came from Haman, from the Rishoyim, and the geula came from the Tzadikim. So therefore, the Chazal darshaned this way to show how the geula had its origin first with the Chachomim. But the Chachomim refuse to judge. They refuse to judge, but they are the ones who gave Ahasuerus the counsel to go speak to Yeshiva Pnei Rei Pnei HaMelech. They gave that counsel. So therefore, in reality, this decree had its origin by the Chachomim. And now it comes out good, because the Ra, the evil, was coming from one place, and the Tov was coming from a totally different place. Now we'll go to another point. He brought this to the seven members of his cabinet, and it states, Kashin Osheshad Mosa Sashis Meres Marshanam Mamuchon. Mamuchon is listed last. And the Gemara says, Mamuchon was Homan. Why was he called Mimuchon? Because Muchon means Muchon Leperonius, someone who was predisposed to evil and to bring great troubles to the world. Then, shortly, he asked him, he says, Kedos Mala says, Bemalka Vashti al Asher Leosus Mama Melech Achshveish Biyaras Orishim. What should be done to Vashti Amalka? And Mamochon said before the king and before all of the other noblemen, it wasn't only on the king that she committed this transgression. But on all of the princes and all the nations and all of the medinas of Ahasuerus, and now will go out the kol, will go out the news that from the queen that women have a right to disgrace their husbands. The melech summoned Vashti to come and she won't come, and therefore He gave his advice what should be done, that Vashti should be killed, and the Malchuso Yitena Melech Lerosa Ateva Mimano, and the queenship should be given to someone who's better than her. The Chazal asked, how is it, why is it that Mamuchan answered? He was the listed seventh, so therefore he was the smallest of all of these seven princes. So why did he answer first? So on that the Gemara says, Omar of Kahana, Mikan Shehedyot, Ahedyot Kefetz Bereish. From here we see the Hedyot is Kefetz Bereish. The fool always answers first. Actually at the Purim, Fabreng last night, I explained this. I'll explain it again because I don't know how many really totally absorbed it. The Maral brings, what does it mean? Shaha hedjet kefetz bereish. The fool always jumps to answer first. The simple sense is because he wants to show he's a chochem. So therefore he wants to say, talk first before everyone else. The Maral says, no, it's something deeper than that. It's that the balei chochma, those who have chochma, this is depth. This is inside of a person. This is Nelam, it's concealed. Why is it concealed? Because the Seichel is called an Or. The Seichel is called a light. It lights up something. If it's not concealed, you don't need the Seichel to light it up. Anything that's totally revealed to begin with is not Chochmah. It would be the same thing, for example, when it comes to riches, to wealth. The stones and the pebbles that you find on the spear are not wealth. So chokhmah is something which you need the or haseichel, the light of the intelligence, to give light to. That means that without using the seichel, it's darkness, it's concealed. The hedjot, the fool, he has no chokhmah. So by him, everything is in the bechina, is like a dimension of stones and pebbles on the street. Therefore, he answers first, because that's all he has to answer. He has nothing else to answer with. That's why it states, Shiva Dvorim Begelem, Shiva Dvorim Bechochem, in the Mishnah Novus, that there are seven midas, seven qualities of the Chochem, and seven qualities of the Gelem. The Gelem is considered a person who's a physical, made of physical flesh and blood, but nothing more. And one is that he's Nivol Lahoshiv. He answers right away. I will say, this is what they want you to do on the interviews and talk shows and television. They want you to be a golem, answer right away. So they ask you a question, and if you take more than a half a second to think about it, it's no good, because they're dealing with glomim. So he's Niva Lahoshiv. Why is he Niva Lahoshiv? Because what he has to answer is right there. He lacks chokhmah. However, the Chacham, he has that which is Nelam, which is concealed, and it needs the Seichel to be Meir, to bring light to it. That takes time. So therefore, the Chacham always answers less, and it's the fool that answers first. That's why it states, that's why the Gemara says, Mikan Shehedjet Kefetz Bereish. Here we learn that the hedjot, the fool, he jumps forward and answers first. Similarly to this, we find the Chazal where it states that the Talmidim Ketanim are makim the rabbi. It's the small Talmidim that bring the Chochmah out of the Rebbe. It's just as if you have a big log. You want to make a fire. You can't just light a fire to the log. You have to light a lot of little fires, little twigs. And as all the little fires start to burn, then they ignite the log, and then the log will burn. Because the Chochmah in the Rebbe is concealed, because it's Chochmah. But it'll take, so it has to be brought out. Just like the fuel in the log is deep in the log, and it has to be brought out. So you bring it out with little twigs. So that's why it states that the Talmidim Maktanim der Makim es Harabai. The Medrash brings why was Haman so interested in killing Vashti? It's a good question, because this that he kills Jews, that we can understand. He was Amalek. Amalek's interested in killing Jews. But Vashti was not Jewish, she was from Babel. Why was he so interested in killing Vashti that immediately he's kafas bereish and he's got the idea of what to do with Vashti? So the Medrash brings this Medrash Esther Rabba three opinions. Chad oma sotrosei bikurtakin. One opinion is evidently S. Vashti didn't like Haman. And one day she took her shoe and she slapped both sides of his face with her shoe. And this was a great disgrace to someone like Haman. So Haman was waiting for this chance of revenge. That is one opinion. A second opinion is it states Gam Vashti Amalko Osaso Mishteh Noshim, that just like Ahasuerus made a big party for the men. Vashti made a party for the women. And naturally, to be invited to the queen's party, and such a queen, over Kuchos Zayin Medina, is 127, it's like you got the queen of England. I mean, not, we're not talking today, she's powerless. But even in days of power, the queen of England, so there was one Medina. This was the whole world. So to be invited to her party was something. So she naturally invited all of the other queens of the other Medinas and the royalty. But for some reason, she didn't invite, and this was with intention, she did not invite Haman's wife. There was something there going on between them. So one says this was the reason why Haman waited to take it, was so anxious to take revenge. She disgraced his wife. And the third reason was Hoyalabas. He had a daughter, and he wanted to see her to become queen. Because even though he was the seventh rank, but I mean that was something to be in the private cabinet, private court of the king. So therefore he was way up there on the royal ladder. He felt that his daughter would have a good chance to become the queen. Here was an opportunity to get Vashti out of the way. This is what the Medrash brings. And the Medrash states that actually we can be medayik this from the Psukim. Because what did he say? He said, he said, Le ala melech levade ofsa vashti amalko. It was not only against the king that she transgressed. He was referring that she transgressed against him also. See, she disgraced him by slapping him with her shoe. And then he said, ki yetzid var amalko al kol anoshim laafsish ba'alein ve'hinehem. There's two perushim here. One pirush, ki yetzid var amalko. News will go out that she disgraced the king. Those who were there, the news didn't have to go out. They witnessed that she disgraced the king. So he's referring the news will go out. His wife wasn't there. She'll have to hear it second hand. Or also, he speaks about here, he's speaking about the disgrace. So here he's referring to the disgrace that took place to his wife. And then he says that Umalchuso yitena melech lerosai tova mimeno. He says, let's kill Vashti and you should give the queenship to someone who's better than her. Now that wasn't called for. The king never asked for that. The king merely asked, what should we do with Vashti? Why is he coming in all of a sudden? Who's asking for his advice, what we should do after that? So here he is planting his seed. Let's kill we advise the king to kill Vashti. And then we will give the kingship, the queenship, it will be given to someone who's better than her. Here he's planting his seed for his daughter. The Maral brings out here that there had to be a reason, and this is why Chazal is looking for the reason. There had to be a reason, because otherwise, Min Astam, why is he interested in killing Vashti? And the first two take on, the reason had to be very close to him. And if you notice that one takes on the reason was himself, that she disgraced him. Another takes on that the reason was his wife, because she disgraced his wife. What's Ishe Kegufay? Wife is like a person himself. And a third takes on that this was for his daughter he was doing it, because children are also like a person himself. So there had to be a reason very close to him, and these were the three different opinions. Also, it's interesting, the first two take on that the reason was revenge. One says that he would have only done this if he was disgraced, so he took revenge. And the other said no, he's doing it because his wife was disgraced. And that can even be more of a disgrace than he himself, because by you yourself you can waive, but if your wife is disgraced, you can't waive that. But nevertheless, the motive was revenge. But the third reason was not revenge. It was for political gain. He had a daughter that he saw a chance where he could get his daughter to become the queen. And that opinion held that for revenge he wouldn't go so far. Because, all right, it's revenge, but he gets nothing from it. But for political gain, for personal gain, he would. So therefore, these are the reasons of the three different opinions. One opinion is that she disgraced him personally. The other opinion in the Medrash is that she disgraced his wife by not inviting his wife to the great feast. And the third opinion was, it wasn't because of the motive of revenge, but here he had a chance for personal benefit by placing his daughter in the palace. We find, let me dwell on two more points in the Megillah Esther. We find later on in the Megillah, it states, let me try to find it here, which Pasuk it is. Yes. In the Pasuk, Pasuk Yudzayin, and it's Perek Ches. Perches Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ubechol Medina Medina Vechol Ir Veir. In every Medina and in every city. Mekom Asher Dvar HaMelech V'Dosei Magia. This is talking about the third letter from the king that went out. There were three letters. The first letter was the letter which he sent out on Haman's advice, Memuchan's advice, to kill Vashti, and the second was to kill the Jews. The third was to rescind the second. Makom asher dvar hamelech v'dosei magia. Wherever this letter reached, simcha v'soson layudim, there was great simcha and soson, joy and rejoicing to the Jews, mishtev yom tov, feasts and yom tevim, v'rabi me'am oretz mishadim. And many, many of the nations of the land became Jews. Kinofel Bachar Ayudim Aleihem, because the fear and the terror of the Jews fell upon them. It states, Rabim Me'ame Ores Mishad. Many of the Goyim, of the nations of the world, they became Gerim. They became Jews. This is something which we do not find by any other miracle or yantiv, where many of the nations of the world would come and they would be mishadim, they would want to become Jews. So the question is, why? And Mr. Maral says a very good insight. Haman was from Amalek. He was the Reish Amalek. He was the greatest of Amalek. As we see that he almost, heaven forbid, he almost annihilated the entire Klal Yisrael. And Amalek is the one who conceals in this world the Malchus Hashem. Like it states in the end of Parshas Beshalach and the end of Parshas Kisetzei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I will have a milchama with Amalek always in this world. Because Yod Al Kes Kor, I raise my hand with an oath over my throne, and his throne and his name is written incomplete. Because as long as Amalek is in the world, my throne and name are incomplete in this world. This is the power of Amalek, where they can conceal, cast a great darkness to conceal the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his throne. It's because of that the world goes astray. They go after idolatries. They go after different ideologies. They go after kfira, atheism. Because we cannot see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's only Klal Yisrael can still manage to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even Yisrael has difficulty seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly as long as Amalek is in the world. But it states that once Amalek is eliminated from the world, Amalek was the seed of Esav. It says, Va'olu Moshim Bahar Tzion. That the Moshim will come in Har Tzion and they will judge Esav, Har Seir. And once they judge Esav and they eliminate him, then it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne will be Sholem. His name will be one, it will not be divided. At this time, Klal Yisrael was zeicher to the elimination of Amalek. Haman and his 10 sons were hanged. It was not still the total elimination, but it was an enormous mapola, an enormous victory over Amalek. But Haman, who was the reish of Amalek, the head of Amalek, was put to death together with his 10 sons. So at this time, a great light came to the world, where the fullness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name could be seen in the world. And this was seen not only by Yisrael, but even by the Goy. That's why it states at this time, V'rabim me'am oretz mishadim, ki nofal pachad ayudim, or modche aleihem, or pachad ayudim. They could see the greatness of Yisrael and the greatness of Mordechai and Rabim, and therefore they were Mishadim, they were Megayim, they wanted to become part of Yisrael. And now one final point. The Megillas Esther at the very end states the last posuk. It says, "Ki modcha ayudi mishna lamelach hachashverish, begodl ayudim." Modcha ayudi became the mishna lamelach hachashverish. He became the viceroy king of Achashverish. We have to appreciate the enormous power Mordechai here gained, because just as Achashverish was the king of an entire world, Kuvchov Zayin Medinas, 127 Medinas, now Mordechai was becoming the second most powerful man in the world, where he was the Mishla Melech. So this was an enormous power. So Mordechai Ayudi became Mishla Melech Achashverish, and at the same time Godel Ayudim. He was Godel L'chol Agoyim. He became great and a pachad. That's what Kinofel Pachan Mordechai Aleihem, great and fearful to all of the nations of the world, but still Godel Ayudim. Rotzui L'Rei V'Echov, And he became very, Grotzoi means he was very popular, L'Rev Yaakov, to the majority of his brethren. Here they're speaking about the great Shvachar Mordechai, because Mordechai, someone reaches power like that. So you would think, now firstly, he was kept very busy. You can't become Mishnah L'Melech, Viceroy, second in command of the world, and not expect to be kept busy, not to be kept busy. He became very, very involved in state affairs. But generally, what happens to people like that? They become so involved in state affairs, they forget where they came from. We had an example in history. You had Disraeli. Disraeli became the prime minister for Queen Victoria. So he was like, and Queen Victoria at that time was becoming, the British Empire at that time was becoming one of the strongest empires in the world. So Queen Victoria was becoming one of the strongest queens in the world. And the Prime Minister, her Prime Minister, was becoming one of the most powerful figures in the world. And he was a Jew. And he became so involved in the affairs of the state, and so caught up in the web of everything that high-level royalty demands, that eventually he forgot where he came from. And the end was, he baptized himself. He gave up Achashverosh, the second most powerful man in the entire world. He was still God LaYehudim. He was still the same great individual to the Yehudim. And he was Rotzoi L'Rei V'Echov, and he was popular to the majority of his brethren. And Deirish Tev Le'Amoy, he didn't forget his nation. Just like before he was Deirish Tev Le'Amoy, now also he sought only goodness for his nation, V'Deivu Sholem L'Chol Zarei, and he sought peace only for all Klal Yisrael. So this is Posuk is written to tell us that who Mordechai was, not only before, but after also. But there's a kashi here, the question. Why does it say Rotzui L'Rei V'Echov? It says he became very, very popular to the majority of his brethren. It says here, David Shalom L'Chol Zarei, that he sought peace for all of his seed. Or Deirish Tev Le'Amoy, he sought goodness for his nation, not for the majority. But when it speaks of his popularity, what he was Rotzui, what he was accepted by the Rei V'Echov. Only the majority of his brethren. What does that mean? And in general, what does Echov mean, brethren? We're already speaking. It says Amoy, it says Zaroy. We speak of his seed, of his Amoy, of his nation. So what does Echov mean? His brethren. So the Gemara learns from here, Echov means Echov Sheb Sanhedrin. His brethren of the Sanhedrin. Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was from the Gedei Lechachmi Yisrael. And Echov refers to his colleagues in the Sanhedrin, the brethren of the Sanhedrin. And he was accepted L'Rei V'Echov only by the majority of them. There was a minority that were not happy with him. And why was that? So the Gemara says, and this is on Posuk, this is in Pasuk Tes in Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis Seif Amud Beis in Masechet Megillah. The Gemara says, L'Rei V'Echod V'Lei L'Chol Echod Melamed Shepirshu Mimenu Miksa Sanhedrin. That there were a number in the Sanhedrin that distanced themselves from him, and they were not happy with him. Why? Because they said that he's becoming too involved in the affairs of the state, and he is giving up too much time from his learning of Torah and teaching of Torah to the state. Rashi brings now, not that they had any complaints that he wasn't spending enough time while being Mishnah LeMelech. The complaints was is that he was the Mishnah LeMelech. They held he should have bowed out, because Mordechai was from the Gedei Godel Hador. He was from the leaders of the generation, members of Sanhedrin. They wanted to know, how can a person be a member of Sanhedrin and at the same time Mishnah LeMelech, the viceroy, the head of state of the most powerful empire in the world? Mordechai said, I agree with you. I'm not happy with it. I can't learn and I can't teach as much as I could before. I'm busy. But I have to do it. Why? Latzolus nefoshes. Because for the sake of Klal Yisrael. He says, you see the danger that lurks. When you have such a powerful empire. Here, what happened just before, Ahasuerus gave this power over to Haman. We were almost annihilated. So my position there can help to guarantee Hatzolus Nefoshes, safety for Klal Yisrael. This is what Mordechai said. What did they answer? So the Gemara brings, they answered, Omer Rav Yosef, Godel Talmotere Yosef Hatzolus Nefoshes. They said that your learning of Torah is more important than Hatzolus Nefoshes, than the saving of lives. That's what they answered. And they brought it out. We see the Gemara makes a calculation here that Meikorah be made Kerish during the time of Cyrus. Kerish was the king, the great king of Poras, of Persia, before Ahasuerus. And he permitted Klal Yisrael, members of Klal Yisrael, to go back and start to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. But then it was stopped during the time of Ahasuerus. Now, during the time of Kadesh, it says, Kisho'ola Zerubbabel min ha-Golia. When Zerubbabel went up from the Gela, Mordechai was with him. And he's Nimno B'Sefer Ezra. And there he's counted as the number four man, the fourth greatest. So this was before the Purim story. Mordechai was counted as the number four man of the generation, the fourth greatest. And then later on, though, Rashi makes a cheshbon, was 24 years later. 24 years later, ben minyan le minyan, b'mei kerish le dayova sha'achren. There was Kerish, Cyrus, and then there was Ahasuerus. And then there was dayova sha'achren. There was a dayova sha'rishon also before. But there was a Daryova Sha'achram, Darius, Darius the second. He was, there's a Medrash in Esther Rabba that says that he was the son from Esther and Ahasuerus. And he was the one who later permitted them to return to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. So in that Aliyah, there it says that Mordechai was counted as the number five man. Not as the fourth man, but the number five man. So you see that he was demoted a bit, and they counted them according to the Chokmas Betorah. So he had lost some Torah before the whole business. He was the fourth greatest Chokham in the Sanhedrin, and now after the whole business of Purim and he became Mishnah LeMelech and whatnot, he was only the fifth greatest in the Sanhedrin. So we see that he had lost some of his Torah. And therefore, some of his colleagues were not happy. Ayat HaSolos Nefoshes is for the sake of life and death. So they said, Godel Talmotere Yates Yosem HaSolos Nefoshes. Torah is a higher level than going out and saving lives. This is what they answered. Now, why should they think that Torah is a higher level than going out and saving lives? So the Maral says, because it states that Ovi v'imai mevi lidei eilam azeh, Rabbi mevi lidei eilam avo, father and mother give you this world, but your Rebbe Torah gives you the next world. Atzolus nefoshes is only in this world, but the Torah that Mordechai was bringing to the world, that would give people both worlds, the next world. And therefore they had complaints on him. And that's why it states, Rotsui lereivechov velei lecholechov melamed shepirshu mimenu mikses ha-sanhedrin. But the Maral says, but you see that the Reiv was not perish, only mikses. The majority were happy with him. But he had to give up a great deal of his Torah for this. And you see that he even lost his rank, because they held that Hatzolus Nefoshes is greater than Torah. Why? But why should it be? Torah brings you the next world? Because it states, Yofe Shol Achas Be'elam Hazeh, Yofe Shol Achas Shol Tshuva Maisim Tovim Be'elam Hazeh Mikol Chayelam Abo. Because you can only get the next world if you have this world. You're not going to get very far in the next world if you don't have this world. See? And that's what the majority answered. That we need Mordechai as Mishnah LaMelech to make sure we have this world. And then if we have this world, then we can be Zeicher to the next world. Because Shor Achas shall Tshuva Maisim Tovim in this world is better than the next world, because you will not have the next world without a Shor Achas, without an hour in this world. That's the only way one can come into the next world. So this was the debate that went on. So what do we see, the historical background? That Mordechai was from the wisest of the generation. He was counted as the number four man, and this was a great generation. This was a generation of Nevi'im, of prophets. And this was a generation that went and rebuilt the second Beis Hamikdash. Ezra was from there. So he went and rebuilt the second Beis Hamikdash. The fact is, this was the generation that was Golu, they went into exile from the first Beis Hamikdash. So this was an enormous great generation, and Mordechai was right at the top. But after the Purim story, he found himself all of a sudden projected into the world of royalty, into the world of state affairs, into the world of power, enormous power, enormous wealth, enormous all of the plotting and the conspiracies of this, of high level politics. So he had a question: should I stay with it or should I leave it? He could have walked out of it. He decided he will stay with it, and that's why it states, "Mordechai Yehudi Hoya Mishneh LeMelech." But Rotzei L'Rei V'Avchov, when he took that decision, he lost a few friends, because they said, "Look, you are sacrificing your Divrei Torah. I Atzolus Nefoshes, but Torah Atzolus Nefoshes is for this world, Torah is for the next world." And he lost his level of Torah. But nevertheless, the Rav of the Sanhedrin held with him. He says, "You must stay as Mishneh LeMelech, because there you can be Matzel Nefoshes, and if you save lives of Israel, then you give them this world, and with this world they can acquire the next world." So that's what it means at the end of Megillas Esther, when it states, "Mordechai Yehudi Hoya Mishneh LeMelech, Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishneh LeMelech Achashverosh, Godla Yehudim." He became the viceroy to the most powerful king of the world. He became the great person for the Jews, never left the Jews, even though historically it usually happens just the opposite. Rotzei L'Rei V'Echov, he was still backed and supported by the majority of his colleagues in the Sanhedrin, even though he had to sacrifice much Torah. He was Derish Tevli Amoy. He sought goodness for his entire nation, and David Sholem Lechol Zaroi, and he sought peace for all of Israel. This was Mordechai. And the Gemara actually, the Gemara says that Mordechai Bedere Kemesha Bedere, Shokel Kemesha, Mordechai to his generation was the level of Meshe Rabbeinu in his generation. This is what he did for Klal Yisrael. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.